these days. Praise the Lord. So here we are, we're at Wandong again, and it's the 28th of February, 2010. Wonderful to be in this year. This is a great year, and I believe that we're 1 year, obviously, nearer to the coming of the Lord, but as Elizabeth said, next month, March, is going to be good. It's going to be a good month, because my birthday's in March, so I'm always happy about that month. But I want to talk to you this morning. I'm going to throw a question. You don't have to answer, but I'm using it as a title. And what I'm going to talk about is, what kind of man was this Jesus? That's really what we want to talk about. And I've asked that question at different places when I've traveled in America and England and various places. And it's interesting, when I ask the question, because some people say, well, Jesus was God. And that is true. And if you say, what kind of man was he? They say, well, he wasn't a man. He was God. And so it's important that we try to get something from the Word of God this morning to make help us understand. Turn, if you've got your Bible there, I want to share with you for a few minutes from Matthew 16. And we have a few scriptures we look at, but in Matthew chapter 16, go down to about verse 13. In Matthew 16, down to verse 13, and this is what it says. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he asks a question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He didn't say, who do I, the Son of God? Who am I, the Son of God? He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? To understand it, you need to understand that Jesus was the Son of God. Yes, he was in heaven. God said in the beginning, let us make man in our image, and so on. All of those things, he was there. In Hebrews, it tells us that he created everything. So he was there with the Father in the beginning. But God spoke out of his mouth. God the Father spoke out of his mouth, and Jesus became the Word. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the words that God spoke, Jesus took on those words, and that became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14 says. So the Son of God, Jesus, became the Son of Man. In other words, he became a man. He had to get into this earth in order to be with us and be like us. And the only way he could get in the earth the same way you, Chris, or I could, that is through a natural birth. And his birth was natural in this sense, that the seed or the sperm came by the Word of God into the womb of Mary, delivered by the Holy Spirit, and he had a normal, everyday birth. There was nothing different about his birth as far as the actual birth was concerned, but it was accompanied by angels and so on. All of those things happened. But the actual delivery was normal. It was just like when Elizabeth had her babies and when Margaret had her children and so on. So it was just a normal birth in that sense. So he became a man. So he was a man on the face of the earth. He lived on this earth. That's why he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man? So he on the earth, he was the Son of Man. He was the son of Mary of Nazareth. That's why he became Jesus of Nazareth. They told him ahead of time in the Old Testament, said, when he comes, his name will be Jesus, and so on. They put all of that in. So setting all that aside, he became a man through a normal birth. He lived his life on the earth for 33 and a bit years, as the scripture tells us. And so he was there. And everything he did as a man. But he did it in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he came and lived the life as a man, as an example for us, so we could live the same life and be successful and be on top of all the things that we would face, because he faced the same things and probably faced some things that we wouldn't want to face. I'm not talking about Calvary, but talking about the fact that he was hounded by the Pharisees and different people like that. They try to put him down and people try to trap him with their words, and they still do that with us too. But I want to share some things with you. See, we are today what God says we are. We are new creation people, and because of what Jesus did, we are no longer of Adam. We were of Adam's race, but when we got born again, we came into Christ. And Christ is what Paul says, for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 3 and 2, verse 17, he says, we are new creations in Christ. And you'll find that when you read through the epistles, that's the letters that Paul wrote to the church, he doesn't refer to Jesus. Jesus was the earth man. He refers to Christ. Now, back in our scripture that we were reading there in Matthew chapter 16, it says this. I'll read the verse again. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he's the Son of Man there. He's telling Peter who he is, or telling the disciples. Verse 14, and they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say Elias or Elijah. And others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But then he said to them, who do you say that I am? Now, Peter, it says in verse 16, Peter jumped in right away. And of course, you know, Peter's the one with a foot-shaped mouth, because every time he'd open his mouth, he'd put his foot in it. So Peter jumped in and says, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, that's interesting. Hello. He jumped in there and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The question we're looking at this morning, Mark, is what kind of man was this Jesus? And so we're talking about the fact that Jesus was the Son of God who became the Son of Man. And he's asking Peter in Matthew 16, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter says, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now listen to Jesus' answer, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. That means Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So what he's saying is, knowing that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is a revelation. It's revealed from heaven, so it's a revelation. Then he goes on and says, and I say unto thee, verse 18, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he's the church builder. He's going to build the church. And he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Now what he's saying there is that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church that is built on the revelation of the fact that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And so we are church, every one of us, individual members of the church. Not this church, but the church of Jesus Christ. And so it's what it says is, if we don't build our life on the revelation of the fact that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then the enemy, the devil, will get a victory over us. He'll be able to prevail against us. But then he goes on, verse 19, and he says, and I say unto thee that the keys of the kingdom of heaven, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed on heaven. So if you read in the Amplified Bible, for example, it says that whatever is already bound in heaven, you can bind on earth, and whatever is already loosed in heaven, you can loose on earth. So the binding and loosing depends on what God has already bound and loosed. But the verse I really want to get to you is this, verse 20, the next one. It says, then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Interesting, because he's just told them, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? See, what he on the earth, he was Son of Man. He wasn't the Son of God. He was the Son of God, but he set aside all of the glory. He set aside all of his deity, and he became a man just like you and me. In everything he did as a man in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Just, you can go out and pray for people, lay hands on them, and expect the same results. That's really what all that is telling us. And so what we're talking about, what kind of man was this Jesus when he was on the earth? The man Jesus, not the Son of God, the man Jesus. Let's read several scriptures this morning. Go to Matthew chapter 8, just a few pages back from where you are in chapter 16. I haven't got another one, Mark, I'm sorry. In Matthew chapter 8, find verse 23. In Matthew 8:23, it says this. And it says, he entered into a ship, and his disciples followed him. And behold, there was a great tempest in the sea, or a great storm, inasmuch as the ship was covered with the waves, and he was asleep. So when you face a storm, do you sleep? Now, I know because I've in our lifetime, and we're coming up on 46 years of marriage, in the 46 years that we've been married, there have been times when we've been under pressure. There have been times when people have said things and done things on us and all of that. And I tell you, there have been times when I've, not in these latter years, but early on, I couldn't sleep. You know, your mind's going, you're trying to figure something out. How do I get out of this situation? What do I do? You know, and you just, sleep isn't there. You just can't get it. And, you know, it's 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. You eventually fall asleep, and then you got to get up again at 6 or 6.30 or whatever it is. So what I'm saying here is that when Jesus was in the ship, and the ship was covered with the water, and there was a great storm, he was asleep. That's the natural man that he was on the earth. He wasn't concerned about the storms of life. That's what I'm trying to get to. And then read on, it says, verse 23, and the disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. See, they were more concerned about the storm because they're not walking in the Spirit. They haven't got that confidence, that fearless confidence that the Lord had. And it says, verse 26, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? Now, so if we're full of fear, we're empty of faith. Fearful, full of fear. So if we're going to be the people that God wants us to be, then we're going to have to be full of faith and empty of fear. He says, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? What kind of man is this, Jesus? That even the winds and the waves obey him. What kind of man is Jesus? He's a man who was able to still the storm. That wasn't God stilling the storm. That was Jesus using the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which you and I have. We can face the storms of life, no matter whether they're natural storms or whatever they are. And it's not the first time. I can remember when we were in Texas one time, we stayed with a pastor in Texas. And there was a huge storm there. And this pastor lived there was a lake just behind his house. And the rain was coming down and kept coming down, and the lake kept coming up and coming up. And he'd gone off into town, and we were left in the house. And the lake is now getting, within meters of the back door. It looks like we're going to be flooded out. So I'm just standing out there saying, oh, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, wind. I rebuke you, storm. You will not come anymore. You stop in the name of Jesus. And the thing stopped. The same guy, we were in his car in this storm. This is before that. And we had to go through there was water. I mean, it's over the road. He just drives on through, and the water's flashing all over the place. Elizabeth was concerned because she thought, man, it's going to cover the car. But, you just take that stand and say, no, that's it. That's enough, devil. See, the devil's in charge of the weather. You understand that? You do understand that, don't you? If Jesus had gone out in that day on the boat and stood up in the boat and said, weather, stop, and God was in charge of weather, he'd be opposed to his Father. So it had to be the devil's in charge. He's the prince of the power of the air, and he's the god of this world. So you have authority over him. So you can control the weather, Chris. That's what I'm telling you. You're driving your truck up, you're going up to Sydney or wherever you're going, and there's a storm. You can stop your truck and stand on the side of the road and say, storm, stop in the name of Jesus. Now it's got to obey you if you believe it in your heart. Are you getting what I'm trying to say to you? This is the kind of man that Jesus would. Turn to John chapter 12. We've looked at Matthew 8. Look at John 12. John 12. Verse 44. John 12, 44. It says this. Jesus cried and said, that means he spoke loudly, he that believeth on me, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am the light of the world. Whoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So we can't abide in darkness because we have the light in us. greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. It says, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, I've said this several times in our meetings down at South Morang lately, that it doesn't matter what you've done or don't do, the only sin that God is concerned with is not receiving Jesus. People have committed murder and adultery and fornication or whatever, all these things. And God isn't saying that's all right. He's not for that. But he doesn't judge you on those things. The only thing he judges us on is whether we receive Jesus or not. Because that determines whether you do all those things or not. If you truly receive Jesus, you don't do all that stuff. All right, let's read a little further. I am the light of the world. Whoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. But if a man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save it. But he that, listen, rejects me and believes not on my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which has sent me. He gave me a commandment that I should say what I should say and what I should speak. Okay, verse 50. And I know that that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, I speak. So everything that Jesus said was what God told him to say. Amen. This is what I'm saying to us. We have to learn to listen to the Lord, be led by the Spirit, and say what he says. In any situation, I mean this, times when we are faced with opposition, and we face it quite often, opposition, and I could jump in there, having been a bouncer and a policeman and all that kind of thing, I could jump in and really deal with it the way I used to. But you have to really say, you know, step back, rather than flexing your muscles and getting your knuckles ready. You step back and you think, now, what do you want me to do, Lord? You know, and I know that Jesus said to turn the other cheek, but he didn't say what to do after that. So we need to hear from God and know that this is what God has to say in that situation. You know, because sometimes the words that we say, they really do have death and life in them, and we need to be careful. I mean, we can try to correct someone if they're trying to put something over us, but we need to just, in your daily business, I mean, you guys that are in business, you need to hear from God and know what to do, when to do it, whether to take a job or not take a job. Just because someone says, oh, I need you to come and cut a tree down, you have to say, Lord, I know that this is my provision, but do you want me to go cut that tree down? He may say, no, I don't want you to do that. And you wait around for half an hour thinking, boy, I've missed a job. And then suddenly the phone rings and somebody else rings up and says, I got 25 trees I want you to cut down. If you'd been doing that when you couldn't be doing the 25. That's what I'm trying to say. That we need to be led by the Spirit, whatever our job is. Jesus was fearless. 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 Did you get the? So fearless means no fear. Faithful, full of faith, fearless, empty of fear. He was fearless in the face of all of those storms. He faced sickness. He faced demons. He faced religion. Interesting, isn't it? That he faced religion, religious people. He faced death and did it all fearless. That means he did it all by faith. You know, he wasn't afraid to get involved in people's lives. He wasn't afraid to show love to people. You know, today we would sort of give someone a hug or a kiss, you know, and greet them. But he wasn't afraid to be involved in their lives and touch them. He touched people and people touched him. I mean, there's a leper, and the law, if you go back to Leviticus, says that you're not to be within so many feet or whatever the measurements were in those days from a leper in case you got leprosy. He just went up and touched him. Why? Because he was fearless. He wasn't afraid of leprosy. He wasn't afraid of sickness. It wasn't a question of, well, maybe, you know, I might catch whatever this person has. Think about the little lady with the issue of blood. I think she's in about Mark 5 somewhere there. And it says she tried all the doctors and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Think about it. And the law said that her particular condition, which was a blood loss condition, that she was not to be within so many feet of anyone. She was to be away from them because she was considered to be unclean. But that little woman pressed through all the crowds of people, came in, and eventually got to the place where she said to herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. You remember? And so she reached in and just touched that. What she touched was the blue fringe, which was on the body. He was a priest. So he had wore this thing that hung around. There was a blue. She touched the blue fringe. And immediately, he said, who touched me? And the disciples said, well, everybody's touching you. I mean, they're all around. He said, but somebody touched me with a touch of faith. They made a demand on the anointing that's in my life. And when we pray for people, I tell them, I said, receive. You must receive. And you know, but there, most people are standing waiting on the touch. But it's not the touch, it's the receiving. I say, you have to receive. Now, if we can get them to receive, the anointing will come on them like that. And like some nights, on, not all that often, but occasionally on a Sunday night, I'll pray for people. And a few weeks ago, we prayed for some people, and I said, now, you're not receiving. And I said, you have to receive. And Elizabeth and I are standing with our hands on, and Russell's usually standing behind, or Ian. And, you know, because most times they're going to fall on the floor anyway, once they receive the anointing. And so we're saying, receive it. And, you know, they stand there, and it's like putting your hand on that post. They're not receiving. But once they relax and say, okay, God, whatever you want, that's fine. I receive it. Bang, they're gone. And they receive. And we've seen so many people healed, you know, of cancers and things like that. There's a lady comes to church now. Her name's Leeman, Chinese lady. She was a Buddhist. And Marcus met her. And the doctors told her that... she had cancer in the liver. She's not going to make it. You know, just put your things in order. It's all over. And she's only, what age? 30, 40? Would she be 40, I suppose? About 40. Two teenage kids. And she started coming along to church with her husband and started listening to what we're teaching. And she started to take it in and say, okay, this is true. And we prayed with her one day and she's been back to the doctors and this is what the doctor said to her. Her name is Jones, Leeman Jones. He said, Mrs. Jones, this is a miracle. We can't find any trace of it in you at all. Now, for the doctor to say, it's a miracle, it means something happened in that woman's body. And she's totally free. So it's important. So we are what God says we are. We're going to operate in the love of God. We're going to operate in faith. Because Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 says that faith worketh by love. Now, can I say this to you? If you don't operate in love, your faith won't work. Like Paul, I can say, I can do all these things, I can speak all this stuff, but if I don't have love, it's nothing. I can get up here and tell you all these things and preach and make it all sound wonderful, but if I don't love Elizabeth, this is all a waste of time. It's not having any effect. So faith worketh. Not faith idleth. Or faith layeth down. Faith worketh, and it worketh by love. Let's look at a couple more. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Down the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. 1 John 2:15 says this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, if our affection and our attention is taken more by the things of the world, if you are more interested in watching television than going to church, if you're more interested in reading your whatever magazines you read than reading the Bible, it says the love of God's not in you. Why? Because your attention is more gone to that than to the things of God. Now, there's another one I want to read to you. 1 John chapter 4, just along a page. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Okay? So faith works by love. He that loveth not. So if you don't love, your faith isn't working. That's the point. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, let's go back to Jesus again. Jesus was the Son of God, became the Son of Man, so he was the Son of love. Everything he did, we just read there a moment ago, he spoke only the words that God, who is love, told him to speak. So every word he spoke was love. Everything he did was love. He says, I only do the things that my Heavenly Father tells me. Everything I do, it's based on what he has told me, what his commandment to me was, and so on. So we find here that God is love. So all that he did it in love. He loved people. Now, he didn't always love what they did, but he loved the people. And, you know, we've got to be like that. If we're going to be like Jesus, then we've got to love people, but we don't necessarily love what they do. I mean, I know lots of people, even Christians, and I don't like what they do, but I still love them. And love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, sometime read 1 Corinthians 13. Don't do it now, but sometime read 1 Corinthians 13. That's that little passage on love, and it says, love suffers long and is kind and gives you a whole list of things. But if you go down there, everywhere you see the word love, put in Jacob or Chris or Mark or Elizabeth or Norman or Margaret or whatever. Put your name in instead of love and read it with your name in it. Margaret suffers long and is kind. Margaret never fails. Chris always, you know. Put in your name instead of the word love. Change your thinking a lot. I did it a number of years ago. Changed my life altogether. You know, Elizabeth's mother and I used to not get on. Two people who like to be leaders, you know. It's difficult when you've got two leaders. Elizabeth was in the middle because she loved her mother and she loved me. Mother would say, we're going to do this, and Elizabeth wants to do that because it's her mother. And I'd say, well, no, we're going to do this. She wants to be, she was torn in two. And it was very difficult. And Elizabeth's mother, whose name was Mary, everybody called her Sis, but her name was Mary. And she would, if we would decide, I'd say, Elizabeth, we're going to go to the beach today. We're going to Mornington. We wouldn't be on the Mornington beach 5 minutes. Mother and father arrive on the same beach. And I was convinced she'd put a bug in my car or something. She could find us no matter where we go. She'd turn up. We could go nowhere, but they're there. And it used to really bug me. I tell you, Elizabeth will tell you. There was times when, you know, and my knuckles are getting white. And her father was the nicest man. He was a gentleman. He was the nicest little man. But the mother, you know, I read all this. So I read 1 Corinthians 13 one day. In fact, let me just read it to you. Maybe I need to do that. 1 Corinthians 13. Listen to this. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And then he goes down, but verse 4, I think it is. He's gone through a few things. Oh, let me read it. Verse 2, he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, it profits me nothing. Then he says, charity suffers long. So I put my name in. It says, Norman suffers long and is kind. Norman envies not. Norman vaunteth not himself up. And the Norman is not puffed up. Norman does not behave himself unseemly. Norman doesn't seek his own. Norman is not easily provoked. Norman thinks no evil. And you know, when I read all that, Elizabeth will tell you, one day I went to her mother. And I said, Mrs. Gardner, I need to talk to you. And she was cutting her dad's hair in the kitchen of the family home. She's cutting her dad's hair. And I said, Miss Gardner, I want to talk to you. Sat her down at the table. I said, I want to apologize to you. I'm sorry. I've been a bad son-in-law. I haven't loved you the way I should have. And she starts crying. Her dad starts crying. Her mother starts crying. I'm crying. And it was terrible. But anyway, the point was this, that the love won her mother over. And she was a totally changed woman. I didn't change at all, I thought. But the Word changed me. And when I exercised love, as the Word said, it changed my mother-in-law. And she became a champion for our ministry. She began to invite people to church. And she said, you must come to church and hear my son-in-law, the pastor, speak. And she brought, you know, 15, 20 people on a Sunday to church. Everyone she'd meet, she'd invite them to church. And she was that sort of person that you normally didn't say, no, I can't go. And then she'd invite them back for tea afterwards and feed them, you know. So what am I saying? I'm saying faith doesn't work unless you operate in love. And our ministry really took off after that, when I learned how to operate in love. Go back to 1 John again. There's a couple more things I need to say. Our time's nearly gone. 1 John chapter 4, isn't that where we were? Okay, well, let's go down to verse 18. 1 John 4, 18, and this is what it says. There is no fear in love. So Jesus, the Son of love, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is in me. There is no fear in love. So love is in me, so there's no fear in me. It says here, listen to verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. So let me go back and just say a couple more things to you over what I've said this morning. Number one, Jesus was the Son of God. He came down and became the Son of Man. He went to Calvary as the Son of Man, not as the Son of God. And then when he was raised from the dead, he was raised as the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, so he was the Son of God, became the Son of Man, and then became the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we're back here in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. Remember I said before about can't sleep? Fear has torment. Listen to it. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So we need to be people who operate in love, because if we don't operate in love, then our faith isn't working. So God is love. Jesus is the Son of love. And Jesus only used the words of the Father. He said, the words I speak, they're the words my Father gives to me. So every word that he spoke was a word of love. And because it was a word of love, it worked by faith. You getting that? Because it was words of love, that's why the faith worked. That's why people's eyes were opened, ears unstopped, lame people healed. Because he was love. And faith worketh by love. So if you don't operate in love, your faith won't work. You can pray all the prayers and ring all the bells and do whatever you have to do, but it won't work unless you operate in love. Paul said, he says, if I have all of these things and can command mountains to move and don't have love, it's nothing. But it works when you operate in love. Now, something else I want to say to you as we try to bring it up. God is not a man to tell a lie. So this book is the truth. This is what sets us free. I want to read one last verse to you. And it's in my little note here. And you don't need to turn it up, but I'll give you the scripture if you want to look at it later. It's 1 Kings 8 and verse 56. 1 Kings 8:56. Listen to what it says. Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. There has not failed one word of all of his good promise. Hadn't failed then, hasn't failed now, won't fail tomorrow. Heaven and earth may pass away, it's still going to be around. The pages, the book may not be here, but the word is still there, because the word is spirit. The word isn't what's written on the pages. That's just how we read it. But see, Jesus used in his ministry on the earth as the Son of Man. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, there's three stages. There's Jesus, the Son of God, with God, creation. Then there's Jesus on the earth, the Son of Man. But then there's the Christ, he's back with Father again, seated at the right hand of God in heaven. But when he was on the earth as the Son of Man, everything that he used in his ministry is available to us today. Everything. What did he use? He used the Word of God. That's available to us today. He used the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all available to us today. He used his faith. That's available to us today. But it works by love. So we're in that wonderful position today where we can pray and see results. We can ask God and expect to see results. We can expect answers to prayer, because God's not a man to tell a lie. And he's our Father, and we are his children, and he loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die for Margaret and Mark and Chris and Jacob and Norman and Elizabeth. He died for each one of us. Amazing, isn't it, that he would love us? I mean, there's a whole universe out there, and I've got some notes somewhere about how big the universe is and all of that, and how many universes there are and all of that. It's amazing. I mean, he's got all of us under control. He's got the sun moving and the moon's moving around and the earth, and everything's all at his fingertips. But he still cares about us. I mean, we're not more than a speck of dust on the face of this earth. This morning here in Wandong, just think about it. I mean, it is amazing. And we need to understand and realize that that is our God, and he loves us. When I go to New Guinea, I tell the people in New Guinea the same thing. He loves you. I mean, when I go, I love Elizabeth, I tell you, we love those people in New Guinea. See all those black faces, and they are such huggy people. They just want to hug you and hug you, and they want to hug. And I just hug them all. It's wonderful. And, you know, because we just love them and let our love be shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, miracles start to happen. When we were there, one last testimony, when we were there last time, there was there'd been a girl coming to the college. I was teaching in the Bible school, and there was a girl had been coming to college, and she didn't come one morning because she got malaria, and they took her to hospital. So we prayed for her. She wasn't even there. We just prayed for her. And then a couple of them, I think it might have been Val, they went up to the hospital just to check that she was all right. And when they got to the hospital, she was leaving. She'd been healed. So that she had malaria, but now she doesn't have malaria. Why? Because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. And the hearts of all those who were in the school that morning. They, I mean, when they pray, they just pray. Amen and amen. Now, we're just going to... I'll leave the basket there. You put in your offering, whatever you want to do. And... We're not going to sing another song. We're going to have some fellowship.